Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/decide. That's linkedin.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
Sports Radio, 92.9 The Game, 92.9thegame.com. It's Sam and Greg. Good morning, Georgia.
Morning.
Check us out on the radio.com app, all your devices, including smart speakers. We were acknowledging the birthday of the birthday of Waffle House today, turned 65, or yesterday was actually the date. This is also a date that
yesterday
turned 65. Yeah.
Okay.
You better, you know, you listen, don't mess with me anymore. You gotta be worked up. I'm gonna talk like Rosie Perez the rest of this show, otherwise.
Oh.
Your favorite girl. College football got started this week. It was just one of those things where I don't know what it was expecting. I didn't know what I was going to watch. You still got two conferences, the major conferences that are sitting out, but everybody within those conferences are trying to bust out and just get out there and play somehow, some way. And listen, the guy who we've had on for the last month or so, off and on, giving his perspective, I couldn't wait to hear what he had to say after this first week. So from Saturday down south, and right there off of Ponce de Leon, or is it North Avenue, where Ponce City Market is?
Right on Ponce, man. From his engagement, you know, why don't you put your hands together one time and show your love.
Yeah,
to Chris Marlowe. Coming to the stage.
That's good. Yeah, that's a good intro. I love it.
I give you the Steve Harvey introduction. I give you the Steve Harvey at the Apollo introduction.
How many minutes of really good? Like if I said we got you on, pick the show, you know, Ellen, one of the nighttime shows, and we need you to do X amount of strong minutes. How many strong minutes of comedy do you have? Stand up.
Oh, strong?
Yeah.
Two. No, like 15, 20. I could do. It just depends. It depends on the wave of confidence, I feel like, that sometimes I can get riding. That's where that really, really find some success there. But I've done an hour before when I was very young into it, but I wouldn't say it was good comedy back then. I'll definitely admit that. But yeah, 20, 30 minutes, I can do that.
You know what? I'm sorry, Sam, because we're going to get into football, but this is actually something relevant.
Yeah, we will. I know it.
No, it is. It's relevant right now. Right. I don't think if you think I'm going where I'm going here, but there's actually a thing right now, given the state of the world with this pandemic, it's got to be tough doing comedy right now in this environment.
Yeah, 2020 is not the best climate at all for jokes and people laughing at anything. Like, and to be fair, I'm not like a family friendly PG comic, I will say that finding enough people to really put all of their sensitivity aside on things in 2020 is a pretty tall task.
Yeah, I figured it had to be tough. And listen, the top comedians are all saying I'm not going back to colleges either. Playing colleges now is just crazy.
Yeah, you see, like one of the best gigs, because you can, like when you would do that, it would just be a series of colleges. So you would put together, you know, a whole little tour almost and go to about 15, 20 of these colleges and have a blast. I don't know if you ever drink in a college town after you got out of college and you have a real job, but it is fantastic because, you know, the prices of the drinks still stay the same. So, yeah, it just, but now it is not as much fun. People seem to be offended by anything.
Yeah. Well, joining us on the waitfor.com hotline, freshman's engagement at Pond City Market last night, Chris Marley from Saturday Down South. You can follow him on Twitter at Vern Funquist. At Vern Funquist is where you follow him on Saturday Down South. Chris, you know, Greg, someone everyone was kind of looking at a couple of weeks ago and saying, man, you look just like the guy.
Y'all need to stop. I ain't got nothing to do
like
with
Kevin
that.
Warren, the Big Ten Commissioner. Now he don't want to come out of the house. He just looks like Kevin Warren, man. Tell us about this stuff with the Big Ten once from the outside looking in. And what advice would you have for Greg? Should he have like a big mustache on?
I ain't worried about it because the commissioner didn't shut down the league. 11-3 were the votes by the presidents. So that Kevin Warren had nothing to do with shutting down the Big Ten. The presidents of the universities did it. Now, Chris, go ahead.
I'll just go ahead and correct that right now. The fact that Kevin Warren. He wasn't involved in the final vote, but that's only because he wasn't involved in enough prior to the final vote with any kind of communication in that whole conference. And, you know, you don't have to wear a mustache or anything like that, but maybe some glasses, maybe just a bag. Maybe a bag is an old Cleveland Browns fan. Just if you want to go out in public, especially in the Midwest. Like in the South, I don't think people are going to recognize it, but it is one of those things where, you know, and we saw it yesterday on College Game Day where Desmond Howard, notable Big Ten alum, he kind of felt that he had made the right decision. And there's a lot of people that feel that way. I personally don't. I personally think that, you know, if it's a safety thing, and I think one of the things that makes this whole situation so complicated is that we don't have, they always have a cultural czar. We don't have a cultural czar. We also don't have one medical expert we're going to for advice. It's a different person from conference to conference. So everyone's kind of being pulled in their own separate way. Based off the advice that they've been given from their own separate medical experts. The Big Ten, I think it just probably handled it the worst out of all five Power Five conferences because, as we found out this week, yet another medical expert who came out on Monday and said 30-35% of these athletes who tested positive all showed signs of myocarditis. And then 3 days later, lo and behold, we find out that's not true. So it's just been a circus, and I think it's something that he could have definitely prevented. And just the optics of it that looks so bad from the outside looking in. And I tell you, the other part that doesn't help either, Kevin Warren, this person who's kind of trying to take this high and mighty approach about player safety. One, player safety is really hard to stick to that platform if you're saying we're going to move the season to February because of player safety. But then we're also going to play two full seasons of football in the same 10-month cycle. And the other part that doesn't look good from an optics standpoint is the fact that Kevin Warren's own son is going to be playing football at Mississippi State this fall. So it's just not been a great look for Kevin Warren this year.
Chris Marlin joining Sam and Greg, Sports Radio, 92.9 The Game, 92.9thegame.com. Sorry, Sam, I shouldn't jump in. I'll save my question.
No, you would say, well, we are going to play down here in the South, and Georgia this week had a defection at quarterback, out of the blue. What does this do to their chances? Because I've been thinking at some point we might see Alabama and Georgia play three times this season. But what does this do to the fact that now Georgia, with just 2 weeks to go, got to establish a starter at quarterback?
Yeah, I mean, it puts a lot more pressure on a guy like JT Daniels to come in and be ready and not just understand that new playbook and that, you know, the scheme that new offensive coordinator Todd Monken is going to be having with the Georgia offense. But the biggest thing is, you know, from a depth standpoint, now you're not looking as solid at the quarterback position going into a year where, you know, I hate to use this word because you hear it all the time, unprecedented times of a 10-game schedule. It's hard to stay healthy against, you know, defenses that play SEC football for that long. I will say the Jamie Newman thing, it did come out of the blue. It was a little bit surprising. But when you really look at it, it kind of makes the most sense. And I don't think that, I don't want to say Jamie Newman was scared of competition at all, but when you start thinking big picture stuff, what really, he had so much more to lose than he had to gain as a NFL draft pick. If you really think about it, man, he kind of, I don't say he finessed Georgia, but man, like he really rode this wave of momentum that he had this offseason where, you know, talking about a guy who played at Wake Forest, and then goes into UGA, And all this hype comes out of nowhere where he all of a sudden has like top five Heisman odds, is being projected as a first round draft pick. And you know, what if he goes and starts at Georgia and somehow loses his starting job to a freshman, JT Daniels, which we've seen with Kirby could easily happen the way he manages his quarterback. So I think he made the right decision. I think Georgia, they still have a very good chance of getting to the SEC championship, getting to the national championship. And it has nothing to do with the quarterback position. The quarterback, you're going to have to win a game at quarterback every single year. Like, there's going to be one game where it's like that guy has got to put you on his back and go win you a football game. But that defense this year, Georgia, is going to be what I think gets them to the national championship, maybe wins the national championship, because I don't see a lot of people scoring points on that team.
You know, Chris, players defecting, opting out, whatever you want to call it, that's still a fluid situation, and we're going to see with some of these other big programs where that happens. But one of the other things that's in play here is these new guidelines. Big 12 are dealing with it right now, where the teams have to have, if they got 53 players, there has to be so many linemen, so many linebackers, so on and so forth. And the SEC and ACC are both scrambling to make sure that's happened too. These benchmarks for minimum roster size, that has become an issue. Do you see that being a problem moving forward once guys start testing positive and so on and so forth?
Yeah, I mean, I think the biggest issues, maybe not the biggest issues, but there are going to be issues this season that we have not seen happen in college football before. And it's going to happen. I think figuring out a way to deal with it and address it and really manage it, it's just one more thing these college football coaches are going to have to do, in a year where, you know, like, listen, I don't think people are going to make that many excuses for them because, you know, they're already getting paid enough money, but at the same time, like, right, you've had a lot of months in place to kind of figure out a plan. But yeah, if you look what happened at LSU, we talked about it last week, and having your entire offensive line out. You talked about Texas State yesterday, was playing SMU, didn't have a tight end on the roster because all their tight ends got COVID, right, couldn't play in the game. So they had offensive linemen having to play a position and learn it within the week. And so I think you're going to see stuff like that. I think what you're really going to see is unique ways to manage it, whether it's, I know yesterday Sonny Dykes at SMU had defense in one side, in one locker room, offense in the other. You've seen this stuff where the first and third string quarterback will be grouped together, but the second string won't. The same with a lot of other position units, so they don't have to be around, like the backups aren't around the starters, just in case something, you know, catastrophe strikes. So I think having to manage that, it's going to be difficult. But, like, at some point this season, there's going to be a star player or a unit even on a contending team that's going to catch it. And how do you deal with it? And I think it's just yet another obstacle and variable that's going to factor in this year.
Yeah, Chris, we were talking about this because we're seeing it in baseball to some extent. These guys got a 60-game sprint. They're at game 40 or thereabouts right now. And you're seeing – I've seen it last week. I've never seen more position players – come in and pitch. You know, normally you see that when it's a blowout, but you see these guys pitch to save the bullpen. They just need to get one out because of the rules that are in place. These college teams, if they don't have the required players at these positions, they're going to start. They have to forfeit the game. And so you see these guys, I don't know if they have these players that came in from high school that were a quarterback when they were there, but now they're playing wide receiver or defensive back or whatever it is. But you're right, they're going to have to mix and match, and some of these guys go into positions that heretofore, at least through camps, they haven't played at. And that's going to be even more interesting, but it also leaves themselves open for more injuries too.
Yeah, that's a really good point. And I tell you what, I don't know how much of that is really – because of what we're seeing with COVID, and how much of it is just that Brian Snitker is just a really bad manager for the Braves. So just, I want to throw that out there. But yeah, I don't know if that's going to happen. The hot take, I know. But I think you're right. It's going to be hard to enforce that. It's going to be really hard to enforce that, I think, with, because if you're telling me, like Jimbo Fisher, who left Florida State in absolute shambles and just one of the worst ways possible, and just stopped recruiting. And there, that's an offensive line that was just in pieces for multiple years. That's the reason why DeAndre Francois and James Blackman were constantly getting beat up so badly, because Jimbo just stopped recruiting. They didn't have enough offensive line players to actually play offensive line. They had defensive linemen that had to play and start, like, game right. one. I think it was, like, 2018 season. I think that kind of stuff is going to happen this season, where you're going to have somebody playing out of position that maybe he's a former athlete that played it in high school, and they switch him over. But at the same time, you're going to be it's going to be really hard pressed for people to enforce that. Because I tell you what, if he gets down to the Iron Bowl, for instance, and talk about Bama Auburn, second to last week of the season, and or even the SEC championship game, and for some reason COVID hits, and there's no way that somebody's going to enforce that game, that team, either one of those teams, like, you know what, you guys have to forfeit this game because you don't have enough people at this position. Like, no, we'll find someone to play tight end. We'll find someone to play safety or whatever. I don't think you're going to have, you know, fat guy touchdowns like playing quarterback. I don't think you're going to have like a number off, like an offensive lineman, like number 74, dropping back in the shotgun.
Watch that in a minute.
I know, right? Yeah, you know, just like, instead of
that would be fun.
7-on-7 option football with only offensive linemen. I would watch it immediately.
Hey, listen, Chris, pencil his time in every week. We're going to have you on once a week, man. We'll promote your shows, your comedy shows, your stand-up shows, but we got to get this dollars from you weekly. You good with that?
Of course. I'm going to go.
Where are you going to be next? Where are you going to be next?
So I don't have any comedy shows planned up next.
Where are you going to be next?
I'm not sure yet. It's just hopefully, you know what? Hopefully someone's listening. They're going to book me on the next show at some point soon. I think my next show is honestly the end of the month in September with a good friend of mine, Holly Ballantyne, who's the producer of a show, and David Sunder. I will get the information, and next Sunday I promise I'll have it for you.
All right. That sounds like a plan. Sam, you cool with him having our boy come back on?
Cool, man.
All right, just making sure.
Absolutely, man.
Anyway, always. Chris, listen, we appreciate it. Have a good day. Enjoy your weekend. Be careful tomorrow. It's an amateur day. I don't have time to get into the whole thing.
Yeah, I hear you, man. Y'all have a great day as well. Talk to y'all soon.
Take care. Chris Mahler, Saturday Down South, joining Sam and Greg. We're going to come back to some other sports going on. We're going to talk about them. I got a comment on the heels of what he said about what's going on with the Pac-12 and Big Ten. We'll come back with that next. Sam and Greg, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, 92.9thegame.com, and check us out on the radio.com app.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.